start, man.
Welcome back to the Space Day Sarah Show, where the battle of who gets back into the recording studio continues on, and I don't think these two will ever stop fighting, akin to, like, you know, stepbrothers, where it's like, did you touch my drum set?
Touch my drum set!
Touch your drum set!
We are also trying to stay on task because Kavi has a firm cutoff. He's got to leave at a certain time. So we were all just commenting how we're all quite tired. So if this episode's a bit silly, we all need some caffeine of some
because shape. Our other episodes were dead serious.
We're
absolutely
really, we're very professional.
Yeah.
We're professionals. Right. We're professionals. Oh, I was going to say something and I can't remember.
Sorry, let me just.
Okay. So let me ask. Okay, remind me what you guys were talking about with this. Is it like a theory or something like that? But the space junk theory.
The syndrome. It's Kessler syndrome. So Donald Kessler was a scientist at NASA. Mm-hmm. I want to say in like 1978, roughly, he wrote this paper basically talking about the potential impacts of orbital debris. Right, because, you know, we're always launching things like you mentioned in the previous segment. Now we've just started, you know, over the past less than a decade, launching and returning the rockets and reusing at least part of them. But it used to be kind of, you know, part of it burns up on reentry, part of it, you know, crashes back into the ocean, and, you know, whatever bits end up floating around in space, it is what it is, kind of. And so Kessler syndrome was basically Donald Kessler saying, well, maybe we should not do that, and maybe we should think about the potential impacts of having all of these bits of junk floating around space. So what he had suggested was that this theoretical syndrome, Kessler syndrome, which he didn't name after himself, somebody else did, was basically this idea of a knock-on effect, a kind of cascading chain reaction of a small piece of debris hitting another satellite or another larger piece of debris, because you have all these things traveling at super high speeds as they orbit around the Earth. And if that was to happen, you'd kind of have, you know, a knock-on effect of one small thing hits a big thing that breaks into a bunch of smaller things, and all of those smaller things can hit other bigger things, and so on and so forth, until you end up with this kind of debris belt around the Earth, which would be very not good. Especially for astronauts. Yeah, Benjamin's doing thumbs down. I'm going to give that two thumbs down on a Kavi thumb scale.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
there is a higher. I can use my feet as well. There can be four thumbs down.
It's not thumbs. But so the thing about it is that we do have problems. It hasn't come to this like belt issue so far, but the ISS has had multiple near misses and issues.
I think there's been on average one a year. I think there's something like 29 since 1999, with three of them happening in 2020. And like those are the ones that like they knew about in advance and did these maneuvers called DAMs, debris avoidance maneuvers. And it's like, damn, there's something coming towards us. Yeah. So sorry for that bad joke. I'm very tired. But yeah, so that's just the ISS. And think about, you know, the few thousand other satellites and telescopes and things that are in orbit. Like, this is a real problem that needs to be addressed before it becomes the Kessler syndrome kind of, you know, bad news day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What... Benjamin, do you know what was the like closest near miss or worst case scenario the ISS has ever had? I'm curious if you know.
Most recently actually was November 2021. Russia, just without telling anybody really, did an anti-satellite test. They just had a satellite, an older satellite of theirs, and they just blew it up to see if some weaponry worked. Well, good for them, it worked. But it also created this big debris cloud. It's such a bad cloud. It was a two thumbs down from Kavi. And it was going straight towards the general area where the ISS was orbiting. So they actually had to do the whole spiel where all the astronauts scurried into their respective places on a Soyuz or a SpaceX capsule and closed the doors and prepared to just, not even in spacesuits, just in their clothes, and prepared to just leave the space station and head down. And they also had to move to do a damn maneuver, and they had to move the ISS, I think, a couple miles higher than its usual orbit, which is actually no small task for the ISS. And they're just trying to avoid getting hit by all this little debris. And as we know, or some people don't know, it only takes the smallest little shred of metal or plastic traveling at those orbiting speeds of 17,500 miles an hour to just punch a hole in the ISS. Right. And you have worse problems than just debris.
Well, I don't think a lot of people understand in general, like you were saying, it's no small feat for the ISS to have to move out of its orbit. It goes in a parabola up and down and up and down. You know, that's how it's staying in position. And and it relies on these capsules that are attached to it to move it up and down and where it needs to go. They use their thrusters. So that not only takes away from those capsules, but, you know, you're also moving it out of its normal parabola, which I'm sure there are a bunch of physics things that go into effect of how to recorrect for that. And it's one of those things that it's like, it's a big deal, but you don't, it's not headline news, but it's like, if something did hit the ISS, that would be like massive, you know, huge front page paper news. And so I am really like struggling to remember my train of thoughts here. I had something else I was going to mention and I can't remember anymore.
I think maybe while you recapture your train, like a useful analogy, the train, a useful like thought experiment to think about for people to really understand this is like, think about somebody like having like a soccer ball, and if they like throw that soccer ball at you, it might be annoying, but like how hard could they really throw it for it to do some damage? It probably wouldn't. Same thing if they were throwing a bullet at you. If they're just throwing the bullet, it won't actually do anything to you, right? But when a bullet is launched from a gun and it leaves the gun at, you know, 300 meters per second around the speed of sound, it can do damage, you know, needless to say. And it's the same thing if you have even, you know, something bullet-sized. There are roughly 500,000 bullet-sized pieces of debris floating around Earth. You can take something that size, and it's moving not at 300 meters a second, but around 7,000 meters per second, right? Mm-hmm. So think about the damage. It's like you basically have this ocean. That's what we have currently. Of debris, of this, you know, these tiny debris that's very difficult to track. So there are about 30,000 bigger objects that we can track, but these smaller ones, the situation's only getting worse and worse. So
the space surveillance network currently tracks 27,000 pieces of space debris, softball size or bigger.
Wow.
And there's possibly up to, like Kavi said, 1,000,000 pieces smaller than a centimeter. And that's still fast enough and hard enough to cause bullet type damage.
Which, so this is why it was so alarming and concerning when very recently the one Soyuz capsule had a malfunction, was spewing out, like, I don't remember if they determined it was fuel or if it was coolant or something like that. And they were like, well, something really bad happened. There's not enough, like basically not enough seats on the lifeboats if something bad were to go wrong. And it definitely is. It's a major concern, and it's only going to keep getting worse as we, you know, keep sending commercial satellites, different things up into space. And so I, I know we're mentioning these countries, and I don't mean for it to be political, but like when Russia blew that up and then when China has these rockets that come back down uncontrolled, we definitely don't have an international good standard of conduct between some of these other countries where they're just kind of like, we'll see where it lands. Woo! And the odds, you know, right. So there's a lot of space in space. And when a rocket comes back down uncontrolled, there's a lot of ocean on planet Earth. So statistically, you know, the odds are in your favor. But I have heard this multiple times from both the space junk kind of experts and critics and then also, honestly, from the private space sector critics that something bad's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen, and it's not going to be good when it does. So what do we do? Like, what do we do?
There are a couple projects that Japan is working on and the European Space Agency are working on to try to clean up some debris. Japan has something very cleverly named project called the Remove Debris Project. It's actually successfully tested where they sent up a kind of a satellite to catch up to a test satellite, and they shot out a tether and that latched onto the satellite, not to catch it, but to slow it down so that it was just, okay, now it's going to go down and that's the end of it. And the European Space Agency is working on a kind of space sail. If you can imagine satellites going up in the future, all of them, with this little backpack. It's very, very tiny. And then when the end of their use comes about, it'll unfurl a big solar sail that would just slow them down, and they just calm down. So there's a couple things that are being worked on, but not nearly enough to really, you know, vacuum clean up.
Probably outpace the junk to...
Right.
To clean up ratio. I feel this on a very personal level with having two children in my home. It's you know, it's sort of like raking in a hurricane. That's what it feels like. I think this is probably a good time to take a little break and segue then into our last segment. But I also wanted to talk about in the third segment here. We have also quite a few startup companies that are interested in dealing with this issue as well. Not just startups, but also established space companies that are looking into dealing with this as well. And so I think that that is a great sort of looking forward into segment three of problem solving. So if, you know, Northrop could come and clean my house, that'd be great. But until then, I guess I'll just have to... I'll have to deal with it. So you, I don't know. I'm so tired. I'm like struggling with my words here.
Are listening to.
So, yes. So we're going to take a break.
Space Case Sarah Show.
The Space Case Sarah Show. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.